Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sorry for the delay.
Oh, it's all good. I was just finally getting these cards off the table.
Okay. I think that was a problem because we're doing some changes around here, some construction.
Yeah, all I know is Lummy pulled me aside seriously and asked me if I could move the cards.
Yeah.
And told me that Macho really needed it taken care of. And then when Macho said at the end of the show, like, yeah, you got to clean that stuff up.
He was stressed out about it.
Yeah, but then he came in and said he was joking. And then because I was like,
nah.
All right. It's like,
nah.
He wasn't joking.
No. And I could just tell the way that Lummy prefaced whatever he was going to tell you very much piqued my interest during the show.
Oh, you looked over.
Oh, of course. Okay. I mean, like, you know, I'm a nosy bitch.
Oh,
and,
I didn't even think. I just felt like it was just me and him at that moment.
No, not at all. He was the way that he prefaced it, because usually he would just tell you something, but he prefaced, he goes, listen, like, I can't remember what he said. It was also his body language. He was avoiding eye contact, which I guess he does with everyone. But
well, you know what he was doing? He was doing the thing we did yesterday where he was the bench manager for Bubba. And, you know, like, he had to approach me and tell me something.
Yes.
So he was kind of in character, but telling me that I need to do something seriously. And, you know, unlike on the radio, when I said that I was going to, you know, slap my beanbag against his face, I just told him, absolutely, I'll take care of that. So.
Right. Yeah.
So
welcome,
how are you?
Welcome to Two Live Jew. I'm doing okay.
All right. I mean, this is obviously...
I'll take okay. So for those, I guess if you know, you know, I just had a meeting with Bubba.
How did it go?
I mean, I'm doing this podcast, ain't I? We're okay.
Well,
we're doing all right.
I didn't think that you were getting fired, but I did not... I didn't... After you left yesterday and I saw that you didn't talk to Sponge, I was like, man... I was like, I hope, I was like, I hope, and I know you heard the podcast that we did, Clem and Kush, if, you know, for anybody that doesn't know what's going on, but I was advocating for a talk.
Unfortunately, and not throwing shade, because mistakes happen, you posted the wrong one and then it didn't update on Spotify.
Right.
So I did listen to the podcast that you posted on Spotify on Tuesday on my way to jujitsu. And the description didn't match the podcast. They, you know, Bubba was talking about how talented you were and a little bit about Drew and John Senning and stuff. And then there was a call with Gooch, and then Sawyer was on, and then it was over. And I listened for an hour and I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. I didn't hear anything. So I walk in yesterday morning, say good morning, and then Bubba says, I think it was on the air, did you listen to the podcast, Anna? And I went, yep.
Yeah.
And I was super confused. I was like, why is there an Inside Iggy? I didn't understand. And then I saw a bunch of people in chat going, the wrong episode was posted, the wrong clip was posted, da-da-da. So then I go, okay, well, that would make sense. I'll listen to the right one. Then I went back on Spotify yesterday. It was the same clip. So I went on Apple Podcasts. And I know you said you updated it, but for some reason it wasn't processing on Spotify.
Yeah.
So I took it to Apple Podcasts, which isn't my main platform of podcast consumption. I'm a Spotify gal. So then I listened to it. And then I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
That's why. So then I felt like even more of a fuck face because I didn't lie to him. Like, I did listen to the fucking podcast. So this morning, about 5:25 a.m., I roll in here and I'm like, good morning. And when do you have time for a chat?
There you go.
And then I said, by the way, when you asked me if I had listened to the podcast yesterday morning from Tuesday, I wasn't lying. Like, I do listen to the ancillary shows that I'm not a part of.
This is all my fault.
And so
this is
then
all my fault.
I just wanted to let you know. And I didn't say, like, oh, Seth, but I just said the the wrong podcast was uploaded, as Bubba put on Twitter. So he even knew about it. So I listened to the wrong one, just letting you know that when you asked me had I listened, I wasn't fucking lying.
Right, right.
It was just a bit of a quagmire. So it all got worked out. He agreed to chat after the show. We chatted. I feel much better.
Good.
So,
and listen, I don't want to get into the details of the what you guys talked about.
Oh no, it's private. It's confidential.
Yeah, yeah,
we won't. But
I'm not going to ask you.
The talk happened.
You know that. I don't know. I think maybe we had one conversation out in the parking lot this year or something like that. And I said, you know, you got to talk to Bubba if there was stuff going on. And I know that that's not like your thing, like, you know, to go and have a talk.
Is it anyone's thing to want to go and talk to their boss about problems?
I don't know. I guess I like talking out conflict. It's just something I've done kind of my whole career, just having that relationship with a host. And I knew that if you guys talked, I knew that he could make you feel better if he just kind of explained, you know, where he was coming from and put you in the position to be your best self on the air. Like, that's what I was fighting for, just with the way that you guys would interact on the air. I just didn't think that any point was getting across at all with what exactly he wanted. And I didn't think that you knew exactly what he wanted. So that's why I was advocating for a conversation. So I'm hoping you at least got some clarity.
Well, much like you, I'm a big fan of communication, but I'm a big fan of communication only when the other parties involved want to have that communication. And Bubba has said often, as he said on the podcast that you guys did, that he likes just hash things out on the air. That's just how he does it. He talks all fucking day. The last thing he wants to do is talk some more. He hates talking on the phone. And to be honest, after, you know, a full week or even a full day of, especially when I was hosting that week, the last thing I wanted to do was fucking like call my mom and see how she's doing and my dad. You know, you just don't feel like talking. You're talked out. So the fact that he does that every fucking day, 5 days a week, the last thing I want to do is put pressure on him to have what is obviously and undoubtedly an awkward, sometimes uncomfortable situation when there's conflict. But it is necessary, and it was necessary, and I do very much appreciate it. I listened to it twice, actually.
Oh wow.
Especially when he was when someone is talking to you not in real time, it's like a message in a bottle. It really is something special.
I mean, trust me,
and horrible at the same time.
Trust me, as you could tell, this was very cutting edge when Bubba's like, now this is an on-air meeting that we're having with Anna, and I was like, okay, well,
without Anna present.
Yeah, because he didn't want me to tip you off like in the description of the podcast by saying like, hey, we had a meeting about Anna today.
Right.
You know, he wanted to see if you were going to listen to it, so.
And I do. I listen to a lot, not everything, but a lot of the things I do listen to when I have the time or I'm on a drive to jujitsu or something.
Listen,
so.
I don't expect anybody to listen to the podcast at all, but I just thought that the way that he was handling it was humorous to me, and I just felt like, you know, there should be something off the air, and I'm glad that prompted you to talk to him. I'm glad that, you know, he made the time to talk to you, and
What
a bad podcast to fuck up, man. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It was just like,
I did it from here. That's why I normally do it from home, and I did like,
it's okay.
I had a couple podcasts that day, and I just fucked up.
No, it's okay. I listened to it on the you know, not on purpose, obviously. Like I said, I'm a Spotify gal, so I always listen to everything on Spotify just because it's the best ever.
Yes.
And I would like listen to it. And then when he asked me, I knew something was up when he was like, did you listen to the podcast yesterday? And I go, yeah. And then I didn't say anything. And now, you know, then listening to it, I was like, right. So immediately, listen, I don't love confrontation. I'm getting better at it. If there is an issue, I'll approach it, especially if the person is like, hey, I want you to come talk to me. I need you to make the first move or just show me that you care enough to try to resolve whatever conflict. So, you know, I was more than happy to do that.
Did it seem like before that? Well, I guess you've already said that, Bubba, and it felt like he didn't want to talk to you. Or was it more that you felt like you didn't want to bother him, or a combination of both?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when someone says on the air multiple times that they don't want to have any sort of off-air interaction, like, let's just handle it on the air. And I've worked with Bubba for almost 4 years now, and he's always saying that same tune. So I would just try to, you know, somewhat resolve it. And oftentimes, not that this is a great way to handle your relationships, but sometimes if you just, like, leave things alone, they kind of mend themselves. You just kind of back off a little bit. You try to not placate, but just be a bit more careful and concerted about what you're doing and not being just so loosey-goosey with things that you're doing.
Right.
So I definitely decided to make sure that we talked it out, because it sounded like he wanted to chat, or he at least wanted me to show interest in having some sort of communication.
Yes.
And we did, and I feel much, much better. And also, you know, not that everything is a shtick, but on the air you turn up the volume sometimes on maybe how much you hate someone, and hearing that when you're not in studio and you can't defend yourself or ask any other questions, you don't know how much of that is real and how much of that is shtick. So.
Yes, it was very unconventional the way that, you know, the meeting between you and Bubba finally happened. But look, if this is, you know, how it had to go, which, you know, the setup wasn't horrible, but I think that you guys could have, you know, talked a while ago and hopefully saved each of you, you know, stress and heartache that you feel on the radio when, you know, if things aren't going the way that he wants them to go. And like I said, if you're unsure of things, I just, you know, it's just not good for anybody. And I have been on many shows where, you know, the chemistry's not there, things are off, or there's something bothering you, and you can let it linger and then let it get really fucking bad, mm-hmm. which has happened. Or you can, you know, just hash it out, you know, after the show each day, whether, you know, somebody wants to have the conversation or not. So that's what I like to resolve things. I think it feels good. It's like curing a disease almost. So
no, it definitely feels good. But again, I didn't want to make things worse by pressuring someone to have a chat with me that they weren't interested in having in the first place. But as soon as I got that green light, I was the first one in here at 5:24 a.m. and I just said, good morning, when can we have that chat? And he was like very, very agreeable, very receptive to it.
Good.
So I was like, cool, we're good. We just had it. That's why this was not that this is live, so it doesn't really matter. But
I thought that you guys, when I saw you in here at 5:25 this morning, I was poked my head in because I saw, and then I listened and I heard you guys were talking about stories. I figured you came in way early, like at 5, and that you were talking to him. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, they had this conversation, and now they've already moved on to talking about prep for the day. I was
kicks
ass.
You came in maybe 2 minutes after me, and he said, let's not have this now because we don't want people to interrupt us. I said, okay.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's good.
But you seemed, you from the start today, and I guess that's why I thought that you had talked to him before the show, because you seemed different, he seemed different.
Yeah, because I just shut the fuck up. That's what you do. You start from zero, which is shutting the fuck up. And I was like, okay, the game plan that I had for today was shut the fuck up. If you want to make a joke, don't make it about him. Make fun of Brian. That was my game plan. Okay. Target Brian if you can, if there's a joke in there. If they're talking about sports, shut the fuck up. If they're talking about racing, shut the fuck up. If they're talking about wrestling, shut the fuck up. So that was my game plan. And then at the end of the show, Bubba was like, well, this was a phenomenal show.
Oh, he said that?
Well, he said something to that effect.
Oh, okay. I don't remember hearing that phenomenal.
So then I was like, okay, you know, it's I'm learning here, you know, this is R&D research. So if I shut the fuck up, he says it's a good show, I think we have our answer.
Yeah.
But then you go, why am I here? Obviously. So again, the talk that we had, which was obviously we'll keep that private. That's between him and I. But I'll just say, much better. I was probably at a D, you know, for if A to F score, like a grade. I was probably at a D
for how you were feeling or how you
correct my affect and just like hope for the future.
Okay,
not very high. Gonna give it a D. And then now it's like, you know, it's
B?
Like a B.
Okay.
Maybe a B minus, but it's a B.
That's a big
I feel
jump.
Better. I feel better. It's not an A plus. I'm not going to give it an A plus and be rosy about it, but
you can build on
better.
This, Anna.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just needed that kind of, foundation. And I made sure to, not that it matters, but it matters to me, and I think most people, the intention. I go, listen, you know, I do this, I do that. Like, whatever the outcome is, which is me upsetting you or, you know, fucking up the show or just being shitty or not being a good co-host, whatever the case is, whatever outcome that is, like, know that my motive, my intention is never to be that, is never to upset you.
Right.
You know, it's like maybe I'm not quite sure how you'll react, or I'm attempting to entertain, or I'm attempting to be funny, and I might get a tookie tookie or a falls flat. It happens to everybody. I don't,
sure,
it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, my intent and my motive is always like pure. Yeah, and I wanted him to know that. Like, I'm not. He's like, you're fucking. You know, you're fucking with me or whatever. I'm like, I'm not trying to fuck with you.
No malice.
I'm just trying to get right. I'm just trying to like get the story straight. And I also spent a lot of time on this prep. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I see it. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not just like copy pasting. I mean, that is part of it. But I read through the shit because if he goes, well, where was this? I'm like, Georgia. When? Last Saturday. With whom? Like, I want to know those details. And I also, we've gotten in trouble with videos before. So now whenever there's a video posted, I usually say, hey, they're swearing or something. But as far as like being banned, I want to make sure that, hey, there's a dead body at 2 minutes and 11 seconds, just letting you know. So we don't get in trouble if we post something by accident. Like, I make sure that we're set.
Good, good.
You know, and sometimes we get to zero stories, and that's fine. That's okay. But if we do get to a story after we've been talking about, you know, Warsaw Racing and college basketball for an hour, I get excited.
Oh, Jesus.
Because now I know something, and then it's like I say something, and then I fuck it up. So, okay, you know, it's one of those things.
That's a tough spot to be in. You
yeah.
know? And look, here's the thing. As you're, you know, telling yourself to shut the fuck up today and to only take shots at Brian, then Brian does a full 180 on his character. He's full MAGA. Everybody loves him. And then you can't make fun of it all because now
he's, I can.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't believe you did that. I was like, that's so anti you. And he felt bad, especially when I said that. I'm like, I'm so surprised. And I said surprised, but he knew I meant disappointed. I'm like, even here's the thing. Like you sold your soul. Even if you're a fucking Biden rah-rah supporter, like you sold it away for 1,000 clicks and it was really easy to achieve. So it was funny. He was disappointed in himself.
It was a bit, you know, I think
it was a great bit. It was a great bit.
It was for the show, but here's the thing. I didn't want to say this on the air, but I'll just say it here. Mm-hmm. Like, Trump's going to win Florida. So, I mean, it doesn't
really matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, like, I know your vote matters, but I don't think it really does because, like, this is a red state.
Yeah,
so,
some votes more matter more than others.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I know you could vote for, you know, other shit and stuff like legalizing weed and, you know, whatever else is on there. But I just feel like voting for Biden in Florida is just a moot point.
What do you feel about the weed thing? Like, obviously you're pro weed, but that point that Lummy brought up about Mitch the Mark and there was somebody else who's like big on weed and shit. They're voting no on it because it's going to somehow lower the quality of the weed. Like, what are the negatives of just making it wreck?
The only negatives that I know about, and I don't know, I don't pay that much attention to it because I have my medical card, but the only negatives that I heard is that people are going to have to pay a massive tax on it, which right okay. now for medical, we don't pay tax because we have to pay the state, you know, for our not membership, what's our fucking weed license.
Yeah, so I think I have the green card.
Whatever they call it, I got to pay them, you know, $75 like every 6 or 7 months.
Really?
Yeah. And then you got to go to the doctor, you know, like every 6 or 7 months and pay them like $150. So instead of having to do that when you're recreational, then you'll just have to pay a very high tax when you go and get it, which is the smart thing because, you know, that's how all the states make their money. So, I mean, I'm for legalizing it, but I will tell you that I'm going to keep my medical license because when it is legalized, you know, for recreational, there's places that you can go just for rec and there's places you can just go for medical. And like as much as, you know, I do it, you know, just to have fun in the day or whatever, like it is still more of a medicine to me. So, you know, I would want to continue to go to those places.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know anything about like the weed industry at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't interest me a lot, but wouldn't just the medical places open up to everybody and it's now just rec or it is literally separate?
No, yeah, it's separate. It's okay. Like, you know, you got to go get your, you know, Zofran, your Klonopin, your Xanax, you know, from
versus
like the,
just like OTC.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got sleep aid or something.
Yeah, like you got to go get the good stuff, you know, from the pharmacy and all that. So, I mean, I don't really think there's anything bad about legalizing it. I think it's a great way to bring money into the state. But again, I haven't read that much up on it, Anna, because, you know, I got my weed, I got my medical card.
You're good.
And if anybody else needs their weed, they can just go see a doctor. It's very, very easy. So I kind of feel like at this point, everybody that wants the marijuana has the marijuana.
Right.
So just if you want to make it more accessible, go ahead.
Do you feel like making it rec is kind of the nail in the coffin to being fun and cool anymore? Because honestly, like, dude, I remember the first time I smoked weed. I was 17. This must have been in 2004. And I felt like such a bad bitch. I hadn't touched anything. I smoked weed before I even tasted alcohol.
There you go.
I never went to parties except maybe like the last 3 months of high school. I never had a boyfriend. The closest I got to having sex was holding a guy's hand for maybe a brief 30 to 35 seconds when we were taking a hike in the dark. And I was just, he basically gave me his hand, not so much as a romantic gesture, but because I was going to trip and fall on a shrub.
Yeah, he was pretty.
Yeah, like he was just being like a nice friend. Like, here, Anna, like, let me guide you. And of course, I'm like, oh my God, I think he fucking likes me. Like, you know, so while other people were, you know, doing anal when they were 15, I barely held a man's hand. So,
which is not bad at all, Anna, just
no,
so you know.
No, but the most badass thing I did, and I remember, like, it was more significant to me than losing my virginity. And I truly mean that because I remember the night before I smoked weed for the first time. I was at LA Fitness in Vista, California. And I was on the treadmill, and it was all planned out. Like, my friend from a different high school that I'd been friends with since, you know, sixth grade, she was big on fucking weed and, like, super cool. And all my, like, friends at in high school were, you know, dance chicks, Christian, kind of, like, you know, buttoned up, clean cut. No one was smoking weed that I was really friends in honor core. Like, it was, you know.
Yeah, no dirty birdies at all.
No. I really needed to venture out. So I went back in the, not in the recyclable bin, but, like, I didn't see this friend all too often because we went to separate high schools, but I reached out to her and I'm like, Gene, I'm like, I want to smoke weed. I need something that makes me cool and maybe just a tiny bit edgy so I can at least relate to the rest of the people that are my age.
Oh, man.
And she's like, I got you, girl. And so I like went to her house. She drove somewhere. She showed me how to do it. She showed me how to do it wrong, by the way, and I did it wrong for 20 years, but that's
what
a different story.
What the fuck? How'd she show you? Was it a bowl? What'd you guys have?
It was just like a bowl and some sort of like baby little pipe thing.
How do you do it wrong?
She told me not to inhale it.
So you just would like just hit it and just blow it right out?
No. Like she was like, you gotta, this sounds so lame.
Like
I feel so unbelievably uncool. Because I did it wrong for so fucking long because no one corrects you. No one should. When you are told how to smoke weed, you get one shot. They go, this is how you do it. And whoever's there the first time, then you do it like that for the rest of your fucking life until someone steps in and go, hey, you dumb cunt, you have to inhale it.
God,
and then when I started inhaling it, then it started really fucking with me because I would like inhale three giant hits and I would be, you know, on Mars.
Yeah. I mean, weed was good in California.
When
so.
Usually I would be able to do, you know, like a half a joint and be cool because I wasn't smoking it properly.
So just you weren't inhaling and somebody had to come along and finally tell you that you weren't inhaling?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, someone was like, you know, you're supposed to like inhale it. And do you know what I said? Do you know what I fucking said?
No.
Like, you're not supposed to swallow it. That's what I said.
That's what you do, I think. Yeah,
shit.
I think.
Like, because in my mind, inhale just means, like, it, so this is how I smoked weed for 18 years, something, a ridiculous amount of time, is I would hit it. And I would just like hold it in the back of my throat.
Me
without
too.
It fully like breathing it all the way down your lungs.
Same here.
So I would just hold it there. That's what I was told. Hold it there and then blow it out. And it would be like a cloud. And then I remember seeing people like Colton and some other drug, not that Colton's a drug dealer, but other drug dealers. Yeah. They would have like such force, like this very strong
blowing
smoke.
It out?
Yes.
Okay.
Exhaling. And I was like, how the fuck did they do that? So then I would like take a really big hit, hold it, and it was like a poof, you know, sort of a thing. And then when someone finally instructed me like how you're supposed to inhale it, I was able to exhale it like all the drug dealers I'd seen before.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you're up to speed on that. And just so you know, I did the same thing for a very long time.
Okay, so it's a thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I smoked weed every day, and when I had a bowl, like, I would just... And then I would just blow it out. And then when I started getting like vape pens and stuff, that's when I realized like you got to hold it in a little bit. So yeah. And you're supposed to blow it out slowly. That's what they told me. My first time smoking weed was at high school with some very cool kids in TV production. So, you know, they set me up. I was worried about smelling like it. And, you know, it was a great experience. That's why I still do it to this day.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate because with sex, no one's expecting you to be an expert. You know, the first time or several times you do it, and you got to learn your partner and learn like what to do or you know, what they like or something. But with weed, you got one shot. Like you got that one shot, and that girl told me, you know, I was like, "What are you supposed to do?" And she's like, "You just hold it in the back of your throat." And she was literally like. And it would just be like a big poof. So I did that forever until someone came along and was like, okay, Bill Clinton, you're supposed to inhale. And I swear to God, I'm like, you're not supposed to swallow the smoke. Because in my mind, I thought what they meant by that was like, you like swallow the smoke. He's like, no, you fucking inhale it all the way down into your lungs. And then you get that cool guy, drug dealer, fucking like the.
So just to go back,
jet stream.
To go back to your original question about like if weed is, you know, for rec, does it still cool? Does it still have that, you know, that cool vibe? I don't know if it has the cool vibe anymore. I am not surprised because I've been saying this for a while, but I am surprised about the amount of people that smoke weed. I mean, it feels like it's almost everybody, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. So back in the day, you know, when it was like highly illegal and you were smoking it, like that was fucking cool. Like yeah. I was so cool because I had fucking an ounce of weed, and like I'd have like a Husky John, and like my friends come over and they would all smoke my weed, and you know, they loved me and shit, and we'd get bongs, and you know, it was all sorts of fun stuff, and you know, there was the illegal element to it. Now it's just pretty much like,
yeah, it's stupid.
It's not illegal anymore.
No.
So the cool factor's out the window.
It's lost its zhuzh. It's like it used to be like being gay in the 80s, you know, it was really naughty. Everyone was getting AIDS. Now it's like if you're straight, you're a demon from hell. Like you should be gay. You should be part of the alphabet soup. So it's just unfortunate because it's not fun anymore. When you call Reefer Madness a medicine now, it's like, fuck this.
Well,
I'm on to the next. Bring on the fentanyl.
Okay.
I'm done with this shit.
You don't think it's a medicine?
No, I do think
okay.
Like it's okay. Well, how do we define? Here's the thing: like, do what you do. I think all drugs should be legalized, like point blank. I don't, you know, your body, your choice. You want to fucking do meth? You want to do heroin? Like, do it.
Didn't they do that when in Oregon or something? Or people are fucking
yes, and everyone started dying. I have some thoughts on that
okay. Actually.
But do I think it's medicine? I think it's like a. Well, is a painkiller medicine? Like, is something
yeah.
that take? Okay, then yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like treat. It's not making anything. It's not like an antibiotic where like or penicillin where you have an infection, you have whatever.
And it's targeting that.
Yeah, and then you take that, and then it's gone, and it wipes it out, and you're fine. Or. Yeah, I guess that's the best example I can think of is like an antiviral antibiotic, something like that, where it wipes it out. This is something that just seems to soothe or make you feel better. And fuck, like I know someone very close to me and my mom who is going through cancer treatments. And
what the fuck?
Yeah, smoking a lot of weed, and I'm like, awesome. Well, it's in California, so like obviously it's anybody can do
Wait,
it.
Your mom has cancer?
No. Her husband.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, everything's okay.
Okay.
They caught it early. Everything's okay.
All right,
and she like you know disclosed that piece of information, and I'm like. Like, bitch, do you think I like great? Awesome, just smoke more, like, feel better. Awesome. So
is your mom partaking now because her husband is doing it?
Oh, my mom has been fucking. My mom didn't want me to smoke weed because she was convinced that everything had rat poison in it. That was the story they told me in high school. She goes, listen, I used to grow my own weed when it was like healthy and natural, but all of a sudden, when I was in high school and I wanted to, you know, be edgy and cool, she's like, no, everything has rat poison in it, so you can't smoke it. It's not like it used to be in the 70s. That's what she told me.
Right. Which, you know,
she did all the fun stuff.
Yeah. I get that. They, when the hydro and stuff really started to come along and, you know, find out people are putting fertilizer and all that shit on it. Yeah. There's, you know, some concern about that, but weed's better than ever right now. Nobody's wasting their time putting pesticides in your marijuana.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
saving that for the fentanyl and all the other shit that'll
right.
kill you.
And whether I think it's medicine or not, I think is irrelevant. Like, I think it should be legal. Like, do whatever the fuck you want. If it helps you, fantastic. Good. more of it, more and more and more. I don't love smoking shit. That's not my favorite thing. I like snorting stuff.
Okay.
I would prefer that because when I do my medicine, okay, when I'm feeling not so good or whatever, every now and again, it's nice to treat yourself to a little what I call mental cheesecake, which might be cocaine. I know Bubba is not a big fan of that.
No.
And to that, I would say, have you tried it?
So,
because it's awesome.
Let me ask you, how do you have any, like, is there any fear before you're about to do a bum ski? Like, just because you don't know what's in it?
I haven't
done
it in like 4 years.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how often you were.
No, it's one of those things where,
you're like, I got to take my medicine. You got to take the medicine more than four,
I meant,
every 4 years.
I meant like back in the day.
Okay.
Back in the day when it was, not even back in the, it wasn't even that fucking long ago. But I used to be able to do it without any worry. You know, the only worry was it wouldn't work.
Right.
Not that it would kill you. So I know I've been kind of branded as, you know, Nose Candy Jones or whatever, that I'm a cokehead. Bitch, I wish I was. I love that shit. I have to keep myself away from it because I don't want to die from a fentanyl overdose.
Okay.
I just want to let you know, Seth, I have not evolved as a person. I still think cocaine is awesome. Unfortunately, now we have to worry about fentanyl being in everything. And for that reason, I won't do it. I haven't done it. And if I chose to do it, I would need to be in a room with several people who were taking it from the same bag as me, and I would wait at least 2 to 3 minutes to see what happened to them.
Okay.
Because right, they would be my fentanyl testing strips.
That's fair enough. I mean, you got to trust who you're getting it from. Snorting stuff, did that seem odd to you the first time you did that? Because, you know, obviously I'm a weed guy, so I've never snorted anything before. You know, maybe like I did it like a pixie stick when I was in elementary school and it like burned the fuck out of my nose, but I never snorted anything and it feels weird to like, totally natural to you?
Let me ask you this.
Talk to me.
No, it's not totally natural.
Okay.
Despite my large nose. It's not totally natural. I know that's what people will say.
So it's not commentary on your nose.
No. Well, you got to get it in front of the insult because then it hurts less.
Okay. This was no commentary on your nose.
I know. I'm
just about snorting.
I know
stuff.
What the people that are listening are thinking. So I'm in their head going, fuck you. I got to the joke first. Yeah. I got to the punchline first. Are there any things that you did either as a adolescent in your 20s or even now where you feel badass? Like it gives you an edge, something that you do, whether it's, you know, maybe now it's jujitsu where I feel like I feel a little bit more comfortable walking the streets. Well, not really because everyone has a fucking gun around here.
Yeah,
so
really.
Jujitsu's not great when they have a knife or a gun or multiple people. But in
have
the
they
event
told you that?
No, that's something that I've gathered on my own through some R&D.
They're going to be like, this training doesn't matter because everybody has a gun in Florida and they can pretty much kill you for no reason and get off.
Yeah, that's why I just do it to keep in shape, essentially. But is there anything that you do, or maybe just even listen?
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Listening to music or whatever it is that makes you feel edgy and cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, and I'm glad you, I don't think I would have had anything unless you kind of threw me a life preserver with music. I listen to, you know, Kanye West. I still listen to this fucking music very, very loud. And when I'm pulling up to wherever I pull up to, Target, getting a smoothie, picking up my daughter, and I'm blasting music, I feel like I'm not some sort of like fuddy-duddy dad. So it makes me feel like I'm a kid because I never changed. Like, mm-hmm. I've listened to Kanye since I was, you know, 23. So now when I listen to him and I'm like, man, this fucking evolution. And
especially now that he thinks, like, you know, Hitler was cool or whatever he said on Alex Jones.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's even more edgy and punk rock.
It really is. He says he's not an anti-Semite because he fucked a Jewish bitch. So I'm going to give him... I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one, but it's just things like that. I think it's listening to some of my other favorite rappers. You know, like, there's rock stuff that I listen to, you know, AWOL Nation, Green Day. I don't necessarily feel cool with that, but I think with my hip hop, I've evolved a lot of the artists that I listened to back in the day, and they're still around, and that makes me feel happy and cool.
Yes.
I guess maybe nostalgic, but I do feel happy. Like, it doesn't make me yearn for, you know, yesteryear. It just makes me happy to be in the moment and
sure.
That my favorite artists are still making music. And when I can turn that shit up and I can still feel it and it connects with me, I feel on top of the world.
Right.
So I get that. I guess I get that feeling, you know, I get that feeling often.
Yeah. So listen, a lot of girls, I guess, go through, let's say, a hoe phase. I think that was pretty popular and still is now more than ever, perhaps. Or like,
thank you for letting me know with my daughter. I didn't know to prepare her for the hoe phase.
Not everyone. I let my story give you hope. just being a fucking nerd.
You're such an outlier, but I have to rely on you.
I am, but it's not impossible. But I never did crazy sex stuff for it. And I know that made a lot of girls feel edgy and cool where, oh yeah, we had sex like in a park when I was 14 or, you know, in a bathroom at a bar.
Jeez.
Or, you know, just like in a dark alley behind a dumpster, whatever your cup of tea is where you did some fucking crazy shit sexually as a woman. Okay, I never did any of that. And I never wanted to do that. That wasn't my cup of tea. I never went skydiving. I didn't do crazy bungee jumping. You know, that wasn't my cup of tea. But taking drugs from strangers made me give me that feeling of like, I'm a fucking edgy bitch.
See?
So you know? So that was my poison, I suppose. So not that gave me an edge and great, but also not just doing the drug. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it, but I would try it. Like the first time I did ecstasy for real, because there were a few times where I took like the tiniest bit. You didn't feel nothing.
I did ecstasy twice and I got a couple of duds. One fucked me up and made me overheat.
Well, I mean, it does do that.
Well, I told you, I think I brought it up. I don't know if I did it at a Rays game like 10, 15 years ago. No. How old am I? Like 17 years ago.
Okay.
It was like a Friday night and I took an ecstasy and went to go watch the Rays play. And
sounds like a horrible idea. But...
I was, you know, this was back when nobody went to the Rays games whatsoever. So I was just like, you know, I had nothing going on. I wasn't fucking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just 24-year-old me. I was like, let's go try ecstasy. And
right. Alone? Like you didn't do it with anybody?
No, so I just went alone I just started getting really, really fucking hot. And I was like, I don't feel well. I was like, I got to go home. I got home. I took off all of my clothes. I started smoking weed as soon as I can. And then one of my buddies came over because he lived right across the street. I think I told him that I was freaking out. He came in my house and I was totally fucking naked just because of how overheated I was.
Yeah.
So that was the first time he had to see me and all my hairiness and everything.
Mm.
So I didn't have a great experience with ecstasy. I wish that I did. I've heard great things.
It is phenomenal. The first time that I did it for real, and I say for real because, again, there are a few times where I was like, fucking around, like, do I feel it? Do I not feel it? I didn't know because I only had really two, maybe, okay, let's say three baskets of consciousness. I was drunk, I was high, maybe I was a combination of those things, or I was sober.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize that there are completely different arenas where you can play, and I didn't know that. So the first time I did ecstasy and it hit me, I went, I have no reference point. It was like COVID-19. That's what it was like. What's the reference point? I don't know. Are we going to be in isolation forever? I don't know. Is this going to kill us all? I don't know.
But is it just like with the ecstasy, when you do it right, isn't it just like instant euphoria?
Well, not when you overdo it like I did.
Oh.
That's what I tend to do is when something is not that when it was good, it wasn't working, I thought. So I took more of it.
Oh.
I didn't understand that.
It takes a while to kick in.
And
like a weed brownie?
Kind of. But the situation with me was I took it and I didn't understand that one of the first effects, at least for me, and I think for other people too, is it fucks with your perception of time.
Okay.
So I probably should have been looking at my phone in terms of time, but I took maybe a half a one or whatever. It was a pressed pill and I waited. And I thought I waited like an hour, waited maybe 7 to 8 minutes. I was at, there used to be these parties I would go to every Sunday called Intervention. It was at the Hard Rock in San Diego. And they would have these DJs, like big DJs, like Afrojack, Tiesto, back when that was hot.
Yeah. Afrojack?
Afrojack was there. Hardwell was there.
DJ Shadow?
I'm not quite sure. I saw Nadia Ali. Probably no one knows who the fuck that is, but.
Marshmallow? No, he was around back then.
This is before. Sorry, this is like 2011, 2012.
I'm trying to feel cool shouting out DJ names.
No, it's cool.
Steve Aoki?
I did see Steve Aoki, not there though.
Okay.
But yeah, he was around certainly at that point. So I met this. I know. I just got back from traveling, like maybe a week into being back in San Diego, right? I just been on this fucking crazy adventure for a year and a half. I'm back in San Diego and I'm kind of bummed about it. I'm like, fuck. I went to college for four years prior to that. So I was away at college. I go to fucking Australia, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Malaysia. And now I'm just back in my parents' home. And I'm like, fuck, the adventure is over. This is sad. This is so very sad. So I get back early March. On March 17th, also known as St. Paddy's Day, I go out with some girlfriends in my hometown, which I thought was disgusting. I'm like, ew, am I going to see some townies? This is disgusting.
San Diego.
Yes. Well, it was Carlsbad, North County.
Okay.
Yeah, like St. Pete is to Tampa.
San Diego, I've only been there for a few hours for a job interview, but the most beautiful place that I've seen in the United States so far.
It's wonderful.
It is.
You can't beat the weather. So I'm out in North County, San Diego, a little place called Carlsbad. Carlsbad Village Drive. It's some fucking bar. And I am so embarrassed and mortified that I might actually see someone from high school. For some reason, I was like, as soon as you graduate, you should be gone. Go travel, go to college, never come back. Like, it was ridiculous. Again, I'm 22, 23 at this time.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's very you.
Immediately, we run into this guy that I didn't know, but he was like maybe a friend of a friend or whatever. And he's like talking to us girls. There's three of us. And I didn't know that one contact was going to open up a world of shit for me. He was like the epicenter of the San Diego drug scene. He was a dealer, but he was also like a physical therapist.
Yeah, you got to have a real cover job.
Yeah, so he befriended us, and everyone else was very wary, I guess, of this man. But I decided to take a chance because I was thirsty for adventure. So he invited all of us out to go to Intervention. I'd not heard of this Intervention. And nobody wanted to go. So I fucking went alone. Mm-mm. To meet this guy. And it wasn't just him. It was like him and a bunch of friends. And my friend has tickets and da da da. So I get dressed up. I go to the... And I think I'm looking like a hoe. Like, I thought I looked like a hoe.
Was that your plan?
No. Okay. I was like, I want to look like... Not frumpy. I want to like show off my body a little bit. Dude, I get there. I look like a nun. I'm like, I am a nun. I'm fine. Everyone else is in a thong bikini. I didn't know it was a fucking pool party. I have like fucking knee-high boots on and like a tank top that shows my belly button
a
little bit.
Well, nothing's wrong with that. I mean, I think
know,
that's
but
great.
I thought, you have to understand. Look at me now. I'm dressed like an athletic clown. Like, obviously, my standards are a little bit different than everyone else's. So I am like, fuck, I wonder what is going to happen because I don't really know this guy. My girlfriend, my best friend at the time, like, didn't go. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to meet him. Hopefully he answers my call. If he doesn't, I don't have a ticket. Like, I don't know what to do. But again, I was fucking thirsty for adventure.
Who's not going to answer a 22-year girl? I don't even say it. A 22-year-old girl's, you know, phone.
Dude,
call.
I didn't know if you didn't have service. He's fucked up. He can't hear the call. Like, you know, maybe he's got a fucking roster of other chicks he's dealing with. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, I'll just hedge my bets. I'm like, worst case scenario, I just drive my ass home. I'm not drunk. You know, I wasn't drinking in the car to like prepare anything. I was like, I'll just go see what the fuck happens. So I go, he answers, he's waiting for me. Like all the things were in place. Everything was cool. This is my friend Leon. What's up, Leon? He looks kind of sketchy, but that's cool. He's got a mohawk. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Is he 45? Is he 28? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Is Leon white?
Leon, I don't know what the. I think he was like mixed, but I think he was like Native American and white.
Okay, yeah,
something weird.
That's one of those names where you're never really sure.
Yeah, so Leon was there. His name was Jose. Okay, it's pretty. That's like John in Spanish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Jose was my connect, and I haven't thought about it, Jose, in so fucking long. So I meet Jose. He like gives me the wristband. Everything's cool. We go in, and he is like. Maybe 10, 12 years older than me, and he is handling me with kid gloves. He is not trying to be up on me. He's giving me space. He's asking me, like, you cool? Everything's good? Like, you're in a safe... Like, he made me feel good. He wasn't, like, creepy up on my shit or anything.
Well, you
like
California
that.
People have been ahead of the game of, you know, trying to respect other people for a long time now, you know?
I know. Revolutionaries, trailblazers, if you will. So he's like, you want some of this being ecstasy? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, have you done it before? And I was like... Just once, but like it didn't work, so it didn't really count. But I wanted to be cool, so I'm like, yeah, I've done it like once or none times, zero times. So I take like a half a pill, and he's like, just see how you feel. Like it was very safe kind of environment. He made me feel good. Because also I'm in this uncharted territory with a bunch of people I don't know. It's not the move. But again,
this is why you have trust issues, I think. Now this is gonna I think Jose did you dirty, and I think this is where it all comes back.
This is 23-year-old Anna back from traveling, thirsty for fucking adventure. That's all I wanted, was to feel like unsafe.
And there was Jose in
and
intervention.
There was Jose in intervention. So I take it and I'm like, is it working? I don't know. I'm also having like a drink, you know, to kind of ease my way into wherever fucking universe I'm about to go. I don't know. I've never done this before. So after a while, or what I thought was a while, I go, I don't think it's working. Like, give me the other half. So he gives me the other half of whatever the fuck that was, ecstasy, I presume. And I'm cool. I'm like dancing, kind of feeling it. And then I start like walking to the bar or across the venue, and then I just start fucking running, like full blast running.
Hell
and
yeah.
So Jose is like, what the fuck? So he's like, he's like, what are you doing? So then I start whisper yelling. I go, I don't know what the fuck. Like, I feel fucked up. And I don't know.
Did
I have
you feel
no reference
great or you
point.
Just felt fucked up?
I felt like I didn't know what the fuck was about to happen to me.
Oh,
like,
boy.
I'm on a different planet now. I've dealt with being high. I've dealt with being drunk, obviously sober. I've never dealt with being on ecstasy before, where it's real, where you're fucking peaking really hard and you don't know what the fuck's going on. And you got one contact that you met, you know, 3 days ago at a bar at St. Patty's Day celebration. So I don't really know this guy. So I don't feel comfortable around other people. When you are like peaking really high and you're getting a lot of stimulation, like if you've ever done shrooms, like how I was, you weren't there, but at the Florida Man radio event, similar thing where you're feeling weird. You don't want to be around other people.
Okay. Yeah. I got to do shrooms. I have not shroomed it up.
Yeah. I mean, try not to have a bad experience like me, but.
Yeah. No, it's a microdose, right? I don't know what the fuck
I
the kids
tried
are
to
doing.
Microdose and it ended up being a macrodose. So just be careful out there, folks.
I trust some of those shroom guys out there, but yeah. No. So what? So you're
so
running?
I start running. He runs after me and he goes, like, what's going on? So I start whisper yelling. I'm like, I thought I was going to get found out. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the fuck I'm feeling. I'm like, this. I was like, this is weird. Like, it was like one of those.
Fucking Jose goes, I shouldn't have picked up the phone.
So I look around and there's like, you know, security guards and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go to jail. Like, I'm like, I'm going to go to jail or I'm going to die or possibly both.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, let's get you the fuck out of here. Because I was feeling weird and I was getting real fucking clammy, not clammy, where my body, my core body temperature is rising and I am not sweating. Yeah. I stop sweating.
Yeah. What is that, man? Where you just fucking get so damn hot.
Yeah, it's part of the effects is you got to be careful because it raises your core body temperature. But again, I haven't looked into the science in this in, I don't know.
Long time.
Yeah, so I can't remember. But you, at some point, you stop sweating, which is very problematic because your body can't cool itself off. So he's like, it's all good. You're cool. He was very like, he had been through, you know, this wasn't his first rodeo with people ODing on shit or being in a bad place.
Was Leon cool throughout the whole thing or did
no,
he stay?
No, not at all. Leon was a fucking asshole. So
he ruined his night, bitch.
he let me know. So Jose is like, let's get out of here. He goes, my friends have a hotel room because it was the Hard Rock Hotel, obviously, is at a hotel. And in the middle of it, there's like this, you know, giant pool and the party and the DJ and stuff. So he goes, my friends have a hotel room. And he's like, don't worry, there's other people there. Like, it's not, I'm not trying to fuck you. Like, I'm just trying to get you out of, you know, this bad situation.
Seems like a good dude.
Jose was a great dude.
Yeah.
Jose ended up being a really, really solid motherfucker.
He seems like it.
Yeah, so he takes me out, and I remember we are getting ready to go into the elevator, and I remember having a flash of a headline that goes, local San Diegan woman dies on July 4th weekend. Like, I saw...
Oh my goodness.
So I'm like, well, this is not good, and my girlfriends aren't there, and I'm alone, and I don't know where the fuck I am, and I'm on a drug I've never taken before. So he takes me up to this fucking... It's probably maybe on the fifth or sixth floor. And we walk in and all I see are just fucking really hot chicks in bikinis. You know, I mean, this is a dream for any man, I suppose.
Sure.
Not for an awkward fucking loser 23-year-old who's never done drugs properly before. So I walk in and he's very calm and he notices I'm not sweating at all. My eyes are so fucking dilated. They're just black. And he goes, well, he's like, you're not sweating. No problem. Like, he just wanted me to stay calm. And so him and some of his friends, this is like a tip drill video or whatever, I'm lying on the bed. They just start like either putting water on a towel and putting it on me or just pouring water on me directly, just trying to cool me off.
I wish I had that person when I was fucked up. Gee, that's really cool. Like, this is normally if this situation
clothes
happened.
Clothes are on, by the way.
Right. I was going to say, if this happened in 2023, they would have banged you and it would have been a Netflix documentary,
yeah,
you know, about what
yeah.
happened to Anna that night. But I'm so glad that everybody was so polite back then.
Yeah, it was great.
Or they wanted to fuck the chicks in the bikinis and they were just trying to, you know, calm you down so they could get back to business.
Well, that's where the story continues is there's all these girls and they were like very attractive. Like large-breasted, big butts, all the things that you love, in high heels, prating around, full makeup, just looking hot as hell. I'm, you know, like an awkward kind of nerdy chick. Just
yeah, but you had the thigh highs on.
Yeah, but again, they're wearing underwears, so you know, in comparison, I looked like a nun, which is fine. That's how I felt comfortable. I'm getting water thrown on me, and then all of a sudden, because the girls were like coming to comfort me and be cool to me, like they weren't shitty. I like whisper to Jose and I'm like, I think all these girls are trying to fuck me. He's like, no one is trying to fuck you. You're fine. You're fine. And then Leon, you know, comes in and he was just not having it. He goes, you know, motherfucker, he goes, you're going to be having the best fucking time of your life in about 35 minutes. So just sit tight. And you know what? Leon was fucking right. What? I was just peaking really, really, really hard where everything was way too much stimulation.
Right.
But once the dust settled a little bit and I was able to just roll and not be like seriously peaking, I had the best night of my fucking life.
Oh, that is such a great story. That's almost better than
night of my life.
It's almost better than you and Bubba, you know, hashing things out is hearing the end. Like, Jose, what happened? You know, anything?
Jose and I hung out probably for about a year and a half. Nothing ever happened with us sexually. He would like do drugs and try to like cuddle and stuff. But he would do that with everybody. He would even do that with like his guy friends. Like, I honestly
fuck?
Think he probably fucked some guys at some point.
Okay,
like,
you know,
he was just kind of like, you know, non-discriminatory in terms of he liked cuddling. He introduced me to a group of swingers. They were all fucking each other. Not me, obviously. I was scared of penises still. So and you know what it was? What was so great about Jose and the people he introduced me to was up until that point, I thought that doing drugs and being in that scene was only for degenerates.
Yep.
And he showed me that that's not the case at all, that you can work hard and play hard. And that has been a life lesson I've carried with me to this day, is that he showed me this group of young professionals that during the day, super, you know, HR, corporate, had real jobs, like cookie cutter looking, all American. And then on the weekends, they would just go fucking buck wild. And I was like, this is amazing.
That's how it should be. I'm not saying you got to do ecstasy, but you know, you got to work. And yeah, it is interesting. It's almost kind of like how I feel with, you know, doing the Latin Sons, a podcast right now, just the kind of the people that I've been able to meet through Craig, whether it's, you know, drug dealers or hookers or just whatever. Like, it's very, very cool to see kind of all walks of life. So I wouldn't have that if it wasn't for Craig, and you wouldn't have that if it wasn't for Jose.
Exactly. But don't you feel like having those friends at Latin Sons kind of gives you an edge? Like, you're like, these are my friends, bitch. Like,
I
got hood appeal.
I kind of do.
I know you do.
I kind of do.
That's great. And that was my cocaine, and now I don't even have that.
Well, you know what the fucking thing is that's really awesome, Anna?
What?
And, you know, we've heard good things about this podcast, obviously. But, you know, doing the show with those guys, and obviously them not being part of the, you know, the Bubba, you know, I don't know.
World?
Yeah, the Bubba world, and doing it with them, and, you know, me being polarizing, and these guys, you know, just fucking saying it how it is. I didn't know how it was going to be received. I always thought they were funny, but I mean, the people that take the time to reach out, that tell me they love it, it's like my baby, and I'm so proud of it. So yeah, those guys make me feel cool as shit when I go in and I do this, like, on it like this, the fucking handshake, you come in, like, give them dap.
What's up? Yeah.
Like, it's smooth as fuck, you know, there's no awkwardness about how that's going to go down. So that's what makes me feel cool the most, is when I get a good dap in there and there's like, there's no awkwardness at all. So I'm not like shaking their hands like a fucking white guy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You're one of them. They've accepted you as one of their own.
Yeah,
so that probably feels good.
Yeah, I just get to be myself. Like, we've talked about Orlando from Wild 94.1. We played his video of, you know, him getting arrested mm-hmm. for a DUI. But I was friends with Orlando. Like, when I was in radio,
really?
And I worked for Nice. Yeah. Like, he was one of the first guys that I knew from another radio station, and he was fucking super nice.
He was a nice guy.
He got us tickets, you know, backstage passes to Wild Splash and all of their concerts, and we got him into our next big thing, and we would have him on our show on 97X, and, you know, he would put us on his show, and, you know, just a really, really good dude. And I felt cool just knowing him when I was like, I know Orlando. You know, him and I drove around the block one day and we smoked weed together, and I was like, this is fucking great. This is the fucking peak of my radio career.
Do you feel bad that, you know, Bubba's taken a certain stance against him? Do you feel any sort of loyalty to Orlando or to defend his character?
You know, the thing is, Orlando was driving in a very, very fucking busy area, fucked up. And I had initially, when I saw the story, I thought it might be weed. You know, when they say DUI, it could be weed or something.
Sure, sure.
But the guy was clearly drunk, which, yeah. I mean, really, really fucked up. So, I mean, I think that he knows, you know, what he did wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
As someone in the industry that I haven't had a lot of communication with over the last few years, I guess I would say I feel a little bit bad for him. But I also know that, you know, him and Bubba don't like each other. And I see where Bubba's coming from on this, but I can separate kind of how I feel about it. And like I said, I told Bubba during the bit, I was like, Orlando's, you know, one of the most well-respected people in the industry. That's why he survived. His company's been CBS, fucking Odyssey, fucking
Did
Beasley.
He ever address it?
I don't know.
Because I was certainly tuned in
yeah.
around that time.
You know, I don't know. You know, they never addressed Galvin fucking a hooker, you know, or trying to pick up a hooker.
Not that it matters, just asking for a friend. Was it a trans thing, or did they just throw that in there? Did the haters just throw that into there to make it, extra salt in the wound?
I'll tell you from where I was coming from, which was the bone. It was a lot of, because Bubba, I think, broke the news that day.
Of course.
It was a lot of the Bubba army that was running with the trans thing, which now, knowing the Bubba army, I could see that they might have just jumped to conclusions.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but I remember that day, and I thought that Calta was going to address it, and they just didn't talk about it at all. So,
did you like Galvin?
No.
Okay.
No, I thought that he was, I thought he was just a dick.
Okay.
And so I guess I didn't really have any hostile feelings towards him at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of always felt like, he thought that he was better than everybody, which is a vibe a lot of people have in radio.
Sure.
Do you a fan?
Yeah. Oh. I actually liked Galvin quite a lot. He got helped me get the job at the Bone when I was in Michigan trying to get the attention of one John Brennan.
No shit.
And wasn't getting back to me. So I just started reaching out to like random people that were on the station. And so I reached out to Galvin. I'm like, hey, I'm just this random chick from Michigan. I've been trying to get a hold of John Brennan. Can you just bother him in the hall? And he did. He fucking did. And so John Brennan like was like, all right, now you're like, you know, trying to harass my staff. Like, what's going on? So it was effective. And I did appreciate that. And he certainly took credit for it, which he deserves. He was always really nice to me.
Good.
What was I going to say about
him? Yeah, you know
what?
I think, honestly, like, I don't have, other than the fact that I know that I've been trashed by Celts over the last however many years, mm-hmm. and they've all piled on, like, I don't remember having too many negative interactions with Galvin. So I guess I would go ahead and say that I don't have an issue with him at all.
Yeah, my whole thing was when I did hear Kitch wind of that story, which was a few years, I think, after it happened, because I only moved here in 2016, I was like, don't you got groupies? Bro, like you got to go to Nebraska Avenue. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of women who, some of which are probably very attractive, that listen to the show, know who you are fans of the show. I mean, if like, you know, Pap and Spanish can catch some pussy from it, well, you certainly can.
The thing was at the Bone, Anna, is that the same amount of married guys all fucked the same groupies. Mm. So it was only the options. There were options, but the options were, do I want to hook up with this girl that blew Joey and fuck Spanish? I don't know.
I'm not asking you to give names, but do you know who these women are?
I don't know them anymore, but I was shown them at the time.
It wasn't people that would go, to, say, on the Calta Cruise or would show up to all the events, or it was probably some of those as well?
Yeah, oh no, it was absolutely those people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was absolutely those people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I didn't, again, Anna, outside of the world of the people that would, you know, just tweet me every day about the show, I didn't know who was fucking anybody. I never went to, you know, I never went to a Pitbull Toddler concert or anything like that, so, but yeah, there was a handful of groupies and they had all kind of, you know, been through, I mean, shit, I love Drew. He's not listening to this, but Drew had a girlfriend at the time that I believe had banged Spanish, sucked off Galvin, banged Joey. Did anything with Calta. Like it was a lot. Like
he knew about it.
She
did that prior to them being together. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't. I know that thing eventually ended
up. Was it the 25-year-old? Remember that when were you were around for that? I remember you making comments on that, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. This was not the 25-year-old. This was ended up being a good friend of Calta that Drew was dating for a while. And I forget her name, but I know that she came to his house one day and she ended up fucking getting arrested for.
I'm gonna. Is that her name?
No, but she was a great one. She was a good one.
Oh, okay.
I met her a lot, and she was very nice. She was probably the best person for Drew out of all the years that I was with him.
Mm.
And but you know they broke up, and you know she just didn't want to get back together. But it wasn't her. It was just, you know, Drew had a lot of girlfriends.
Yeah.
Not at the same time, but like when he was, you know, separated, it was just like, you know, boom.
He had the gift of gab. Yeah, I understand. He's a schmoozer. He's a charmer.
And he would. I mean, Drew's like probably like me and like a lot of people. I think we fall hard. We fall fast. If mm-hmm. I was out there on the dating scene, I'd probably tell somebody I'd love them within the first 10 minutes of meeting them. You know,
yeah.
And Drew was like that kind of guy where he'd be like,
he loved love.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh my God, like I think I love this girl. I just met her, you know?
Right. And it's like Love on the Spectrum. Did you ever see that show?
No.
Don't watch it.
it doesn't sound good at all.
Don't watch it.
I don't care about Love or the Spectrum. So that's why I would be out. But
it's about autistic people dating.
Oh, that's nice. I do care about the Spectrum then.
Yeah.
But I just think I just like you said, at the Bone there was you know, three or four chicks that would just everybody would run through. It wasn't so much like we've got 50 women to choose from. It was like, A, you know, I have to try to decide, you know, which girl is the least dirty that I want to hook up with. So
There's something somewhat related to that. That helped me through a very, very difficult time. I know that makes no sense the way I just introed it, but do you remember the one Ryan Adams?
Yes.
Whenever
yeah.
Ryan Adams was super special because whenever faced with a crossroads, he would always choose the wrong decision. Like, he always made a bad decision worse. When he could have just made it a few degrees better, he chose the wrong direction every single fucking time.
Well, just so people know who Ryan Adams is, he used to produce Johnny B's show, used to work at Cox, do a lot of phone screening, producing, on air.
Castle
stuff.
Hunting.
I don't even know. I guess I'll find out what that means.
He would go to the castle.
The castle in Ybor.
Yes,
oh.
In Ybor. He was big on that.
That's a freaky place.
Yeah, it sure is. But
he got accused of, and we talked about it on the show with Drew, he got accused of, I think he was addicted to sexting.
Yes.
And I think his wife
found out.
Yeah, his wife found out because he was sexting with people.
That were listeners and
yeah, he was
fans
with,
of the show.
He was sexting with listeners, and then the listeners would fucking go to, Drew or somebody and be like, yeah, this guy won't stop sending me these messages and shit like that.
Yeah, dick pics and whatnot.
Yeah.
Not great stuff. And he hit on everything that walked that had a vagina, and including me.
Mm.
So I first started at the Bone. This is April of 2016, and I'm on the Johnny B show as a fucking phone screener and then worked my way up to mic 3 or whatever behind Ryan Adams. And there were times I remember I think I wore like a skirt and it wasn't even like a short one. I was just, whatever. Or it was short. So it was fucking summertime, bro. So I walk in.
Would he shove his head up there?
No, he would text me during the show.
Oh, yeah, that's hot. And what'd he say? This is
just
so
like
crazy.
Your legs look good today.
Oh,
and then I would
God.
See the text, look at him in his face, and he would not look at me. He wouldn't see me. I was invisible. He would just be looking straight ahead as if he didn't say nothing. And what? I'm like, I'm looking at you, bitch. Like, I'm looking at you like, what the fuck? But, you would think at least he could wink or, play along or something. None of that. No game in that regard.
Well, because there was no wink because he was serious because, as we talked about, he had a sexting issue.
He sure did.
And he wanted you to, sext him back.
Yeah. And so that, I felt, not like it was a Harvey Weinstein thing, but he was probably one of my first friends at the Bone and in Florida, for that matter. So I remember after the first show, I was like, that was so incredible. I'm so excited to be here. He's like, it's amazing. He's like, essentially telling me, I'll show you the way, sort of a thing. I swear to God, after the show, I must have talked to him for at least an hour and a half, 2 hours on the phone.
Well,
about how excited I was to be in Florida, how excited I was to be on the air. Because you got to think, I was fucking bartending 2 weeks prior to that at some fucking stupid bar in the middle of Madison Heights in fucking Michigan.
Mm.
So not great for me. Not great for my mentals. I didn't want to be there. I hated the place, hated the state, hated the people. Well, not all the people. Some of them were all right. But anyways, I was so excited to be like moving in the right direction, having aspiration. I was just elated. And so he took advantage of that.
Yes.
Which, whatever. He shot a shot. He didn't rape me. I'm not going to claim he did.
Just scarred you a little.
Not so much. He actually really, really helped me out. Because when he was going through the very embarrassing public situation ridicule of sexting those people, and Drew was talking about it but not naming him, but naming him but not naming him.
I know.
Calton was doing the same thing, not naming him. Maybe some guy that's on a nighttime show that's maybe an executive producer, with Johnny, basically saying who it was, obviously. I was going through a breakup myself. And that really helped distract me. I remember just being like, I'm going to fucking cry on the air. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. And then when I saw what he was going through, I'm like, oh, that's way worse.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you. God bless you, Ryan Adams, for taking my mind off my own troubles.
Yeah, they're not talking about, who was that? Was that with, who'd you break up with?
Tomas.
Tomas.
Yeah.
I like Tomas.
He liked you too.
He would get me edibles and shit.
I know.
He was such a nice guy.
He tried to, not swindle, that's not the word. He would curry favor with people I would work with, and I appreciated that. That's nice when your significant other is trying to, jazz up Johnny B or you or anybody who was like helping me out or a friend of mine. Like, he went out of their way to do stuff.
And he got me edibles a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I remember you and I were maybe, I don't know, meeting once a month or maybe started to some stuff. Yeah. And he got me that. And I realized he got me that because he was like, I think he said, thanks for taking care of Anna. And I was like, wow. I was like, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's...
But then he forgot to take care of me. So.
And then I forgot. I stopped, you know, and then it's just nobody was taking care of Anna anymore. So
that's okay. That's how it ended.
Poor Tomas.
That's all right. But that was a lot of fun. I feel a lot better.
I'm glad you're good.
Thank you for letting me tell my ecstasy story. That really brought me back and a lot of good memories I hadn't thought of in a long time.
Let's get some clean ecstasy, guys.
I thought I was going to die, but it ended up being the best night of my life.
What up, Jesus and Tomar? No, wait. Who was it? It was Juan and Leon.
Jose and Leon.
Jose and Leon.
What's up? I miss you guys. See you guys later.